Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is WTIC Pet Talk. Today, Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital takes your pet health questions. Whether you have a dog, cat, or hamster, this is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. And now, Pet Talk.
Good afternoon and welcome to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I am Dr. Andrea Dennis, and I was just so thrilled to be out and about today. I mean, how gorgeous is it? This is beautiful weather. I almost feel like when I see the forsythias out, you know, with all that yellow, the daffodils, the grass could not be greener. And rather than try to replicate the old garden talk show, I am not very good botanist, but it just feels wonderful just to look around. So hopefully you're out and about, and or at least, you know, bring your radios outside and listen outside on your portable devices, because we are here to answer your questions about your pets, and that can have to do with anything, whether it's a medical issue. Sometimes some of the behavior issues that we see are related to medicine and sometimes not, but that's what I'm here for. And I would really appreciate talking with you as early as possible. I have had a couple people, the last show I had a couple weeks ago, I had to actually talk to them off the air because we just ran out of time. So we are ready for your phone call. So give us a call at 860-522-9842, which is 860-522-9842. WTIC. And we have, I guess not a new producer. He's been around for a while, but I haven't worked with him. But Tom Connolly Wilson is taking over the reins on the show today. I'm in excellent hands. And so when you call in to the WTIC number, he will be the first person that you speak with and explain to him just a little bit outline of what your question has to do with. And I promise we will get to everyone that calls. That's my commitment when I'm here on Saturday afternoons, and I totally enjoy that. But getting back to this wonderful weather, with all the positives of being out and about and taking in the beautiful colors and knowing that spring is here and we're going to be heading into even better weather, as a veterinarian, sometimes I look at the negative side of things, because with this time of year, I see a lot of problems that have to do with parasites. And this is technically Heartworm Awareness Month in April. I'm sorry. It's so that people are aware of heartworm disease. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that, how it affects your dogs and your cats. A lot of people just think heartworm has to do with the canine species, but cats are also at risk. But also the fact of how can we prevent it? What can we do to treat them once they have it? Let's not ignore it. It is a issue. I actually am in the process of treating two canine patients that actually have heartworm. This week we started the treatment. It's quite involved. And if we can prevent it, and we will talk about prevention a little bit later, but if we can prevent it, it is just such a much better course to take with our pets. And that's why we come here on Saturday afternoons, to try to talk to you and dialogue with you. And if you have questions about this, if you feel this is not important, let me hear your side of it. But I think on the medicine side of things, this is one disease. I went to school in Alabama. I saw so many cases of heartworm prior to even coming back to Connecticut and starting to practice. It is a bad issue that affects our pets. And we can, like I said, we can prevent it. The other thing I want to talk about too today, yesterday I had the most gorgeous golden retriever that comes to see us every month for allergies. And I always check out his, you know, everything having to do with his skin, because his skin can flare up with his allergies. I lift up the right ear. Our right ear looks great. Lift up the left ear. And the left ear, as soon as I did that, a tick just kind of was walking across the inside of this dog's ear. So ticks and ticks diseases are another thing that we want to address as well, if we can. So with this, so we're going to have a little bit of information for you today. But again, our show is all about talking to you about your pets, about some of the things that you feel are most important. And you know what? I think I recognize a name. So, Joe, how are you? It's Andrea Dennis. It's the doctor this week.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. So sorry.
Can you hear me?
I can now. This is my fault. This is definitely, I was so into the weather, I think I wasn't concentrating as much as I should have.
No problem.
How are you?
Not bad. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I want to point something out. I think I told you last year about this. Yes, I did, but this is a reminder. The Seresto collar.
Yeah.
For flea and ticks?
Yes.
Now, just to be fair, I called them up again this week. That collar does not, you're supposed to wear it all the time for it to work.
Yeah.
And you know about leaving dogs wearing a collar, you should always be supervised.
Right.
Now, supposedly they had a break off, it's supposed to break off if it gets tangled or something, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't do that.
Okay.
I found that out because I couldn't get mine off my dog's off 2 years ago.
Right,
and
I remember
then
you
I
saying
called
so.
Them up, they didn't give me an argument. They said, "We'll give you a free one," and I knew about it.
Okay,
and I called again, and two people never denied it and everything. So you would think after they knew, because then someone was doing work on my house, says he knew of a dog that strangled himself with that thing because he got caught onto something and it didn't break
right.
off. So I just want to remind the people out there, Seresto collar.
To be careful and not leave them alone. And I think the last time we talked about this, you're right about just about really any collar. But, you know, when we're talking about something that's supposed to prevent fleas and ticks, that if you're keeping that on and it's not just to take them outside to take them for a walk, you do run that risk. And that's the whole thing. They're supposed to be breakaway. That's the term.
It doesn't work.
Okay. And if that's not changing, that is a concern. And I think this is excellent for you to bring it up for people to kind of make that choice. I know it's out there. It's an option for people. I told you before that I'm not a fan of flea and tick collars just in general. But I know a lot of my clients like them. And that's what they use. I tend to be much more of a fan of the oral products, or even sometimes the topical ones, based on the situation, what the home life is. If people have kids in the house, there's not one medicine I feel is best for all, but I do think we have to do something to prevent the fleas because of the diseases that come with fleas.
Oh, yeah, but the problem I have with the oral medications, they have to bite, and they have to be on for 24 to 48 hours for it to work.
Versus it being a repellent. I completely understand.
And a repellent, too. I mean, that's really misleading sometimes. The only one true repellent Frontline has is the new one, Frontline Shield.
Yeah.
There's a chemical there you can put on your clothes to repel the ticks.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get through that barrier, which they could, then if they bite, they'll die because, you know, it's in the skin glands and everything. But I didn't like another thing, too.
Well, since you and I are now at a point where we're having dialogue, Joe, let me just kind of, yes, they will bite, but these ticks are incapable of the transmitting the disease. That's the other thing. I agree with you that sometimes you'll see them attached. But in order for a tick to transmit like Lyme disease to a dog, it has to be able to transmit that Borrelia, that organism, and that takes 24 to 48 hours for that to happen. And with these products, even though these ticks are attached, they're not injecting the disease. That's where the benefit comes from. Not that, yes, you might still see them, but I just want to add that to the piece of how these products work.
But the problem is, if it gets past the 24 hours, there's like a 7% chance, whatever, of Lyme disease being transferred. That's why I don't like the oral products.
So what do you like?
I mean, one other thing, just to let you know, I think it's, I don't want to name the company unless I know for sure. There's a company on their package that says kills in 4 hours.
Okay.
And my tech, the vet tech, told me that. I said, yeah, kills in 4 hours. Okay. So I call up.
Wait, stop. Are we talking about fleas or ticks? It kills in 4 hours. Which one?
I believe it was ticks. Yeah, it was ticks. And I said, it kills in 4 hours?
I don't know about that.
No. She says, no. Well, some ticks. No. How about the deer tick? No, 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
No, but I know, but it's very misleading when you see that on the package. You know, four hours. When you call them up, well, not the deer tick. Okay.
Yeah.
One other thing, too. This is where I get in trouble, doctor. These people have no minds. You see them at a dog park, and they have the dog dragging the leash.
Oh, okay. So we're on a different topic.
Yep. You know, I'm just saying, as far as strangulation with the collar and the whole bit and everything, that's very dangerous.
Good point. Absolutely.
If they, luckily I was there. The dog wrapped around a lady. The lady was a small woman. She started to fall, and I got in the middle. I had to hold her up with one arm and release the dog with the other arm and everything. And I don't, after that, I think this lady still didn't learn to have to drag the leash. Well, the dog doesn't come. And then you wonder why you get mad.
I know. I think you're being very restrained today. I'm very proud of you. But these are good points. And again, just like when we were talking about the overweight issue, and I have a little, little disagreement with the conversation with the with Lori Fest, the dog trainer last week.
I was going to call her last week.
Well, Joe, I have to go at 1:18. I promised my new producer Tom, but I'm going to address that. Okay, and we're going to address that too
that's
today.
All they had to hear is that. Oh, it's a few pounds to be a hot. That's all they had to hear. Oh, I'm sure that, like,
I thought of you.
That's all they had to hear. Right. Right? That's all they had to hear. Oh, the dog trainer said they could do it.
I thought of you, but I really do have to go. But I'm going to address all these things today. Thanks for calling,
yeah,
Joe.
You be safe.
You too. Bye-bye. I did think of him as soon as I heard that. I was in the car and I couldn't do anything about it. All right, Tom, you've got me going. I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Pet Talk is back. Now Saturdays at 1 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Welcome back. You are listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. We have another 40 minutes to talk to you about your pets. So give us a call at 860-522-9842. We would love to talk to you about your pets, any questions you might have. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. And for a very long time, we've been alternating on every other Saturday with Lori Fass, the pet trainer. And we are talking medicine mainly here. We can also discuss some of the behavior things that do occur. But I think, again, when we're alternating like this, as many medicine questions I'd like to take on, because, again, as a doctor, this is an area that I have expertise in and many years as well. So if you need to reach me, you can also contact our website, which is Bloomfield Animal Hospitals, CT for Connecticut, .com. That's Bloomfield Animal Hospital, CT.com. And we're always happy to answer emails, reach out. We're here to help. That's our goal. And that's through education. And I was talking to Joe a little bit earlier, who calls in pretty regularly now. I can just tell how passionate he is. Education is key. So parasites. There's all sorts of parasites that we have to deal with and with our pets. Because it's April, because it's National Heartworm Awareness, I'd like to just take a couple of minutes here to talk about heartworm disease. And heartworm disease is something that I feel, because people can't see it, it's not like they can see a tick on the skin or they can't see fleas on their pet. Sometimes it's the invisible disease, but it is horribly dangerous. And it's something that, because of the fact that it hasn't been around in this part of the country for a long, long time. It's something that kind of started in the South and moved up towards the Northeast. But now, with people adopting pets from all over the place, it's pretty much everywhere in the United States. We see documented cases. And it's horrible. It really is horrible for the pets. So what can you do to prevent it? You get heartworm disease by your pet being bit by a mosquito. And this mosquito is actually carrying this heartworm and this larva that's inside the mosquito. So one dog is not going to just give it to another dog. It needs that mosquito that's transmitting the infection from one to another. And that's why every year we recommend during your dog's yearly examination, they have a heartworm test because it's this invisible disease. You can't see it. You can't touch it. And if we can test every year, we can catch as many cases as early as possible. That's number one. And that's why we do it. And some people say, well, why do I have to do it every year? That's the Heartworm Society recommendation. That's why. The other thing, number two, is that we want to have them on a preventative. There's different types of heartworm prevention. There's some that you give every month. There's some that you give an injection every 6 months. I am a fan of doing it on a monthly basis. It is really a safe way to prevent our dogs from getting heartworm. Then once, say, okay, you've been doing that, what happens if they do get it? There is treatment, and the treatment is very involved. We like I said, I'm actually treating two dogs right now. And the treatment is so much more expensive than the prevention. The treatment is painful for these patients. When we start the treatment, we actually have our patient with us the entire day. And most of the time after they get the treatment is keeping their pain under control. We're ice packing the area. We are just so physically concentrating on making sure these dogs are not painful. And then after they're treated, then you have to keep them really, really quiet. I mean, they can't really go for walks. They can only go outside because what happens is these worms, these adult worms, and they can get up to 12 inches long and they're living in your dog's heart if they have it. These worms break off in little pieces. And when they break off in pieces, they can cause an embolism in the lungs. And some of these dogs can die even a month after they're being treated. So it's a very, very intense care for these pets. So why not prevent it? Can we do that? And then the other thing is if I can take a switch over to heartworm disease in cats. Yes, they get it. Now, in dogs, it's mainly a worm that lives within the vascular system, within the heart. In cats, it's primarily what we call a respiratory disease. These worms, they don't need as many worms. Sometimes they can just have heartworm when they start showing one heartworm when they start showing clinical signs. And that has to do because it's these lungs, these are actually causing damage to their lungs, not so much just the heart, it's the lungs. And how do you know? How do you know, since we don't test cats generally on a yearly basis, how do you know if your cat could have heartworm? And that is coughing, wheezing, difficulty breathing. Some of these cats will even vomit. Sometimes we'll actually see extreme nosebleeds. I've had a few cats that also show neurological signs. So those of you that have a cat that's wheezing, you know, sometimes when we see these cats, we think, does this cat have feline asthma? Does it have an upper respiratory infection? But we also will often ask, can we test your cat for heartworm disease? And if we can do that, we can just kind of at least hopefully eliminate it. We do treat cats as well if needed. But again, it's mostly respiratory versus the dog. It's the heart. So those are the two differences. And the line that, well, I have an indoor cat, so I don't have to worry about heartworm. I just don't buy that. How many mosquitoes do you see in your windowsill? How many mosquitoes get in the house? And for both dogs and cats, heartworm is a disease that's transmitted by mosquitoes. Okay. So if you have any questions about heartworm, give me a call. And Donna, I'm going to ask you just to kind of stay tuned until I want to talk to you after the break. But again, Tom has got the hammer and saying we're going to news and we're going right now.
Saturday, Saturday,
Welcome back. It is Saturday, and it is a gorgeous, gorgeous Saturday here at WTIC. I am Dr. Andrea Dennis, and we are here talking to you about your pets. And we have a couple of people that have been so patient. They have some important questions, and I think everyone will learn something from them. So why don't we just bring Donna Marie right up? How are you, Donna Marie?
Excellent. Thank you. How are you today?
I feel good. Just being outside, right?
Yes, exactly.
But how can we help you today?
I have a cat, 6 years old, a female. She's an indoor cat.
Okay, good.
I only take her out occasionally on a leash. And last summer, I was kind of weary of putting the front line on her.
Okay.
The drops that you put like on the back.
Has she had a problem with it in the past, or...?
No, okay. I just heard that there could be a problem, their reaction to it. And now that she's older, is it still safe?
Yeah, now how old is she?
16.
She's 16. Is she healthy? You know, no kidney issues? No.
Well, she was healthy up until about a year and a half ago. She did develop a kidney issue.
Okay.
And she's still on half of... they're still giving her medication today, and she's been switched over to... HD, some type of special.
Right. Donna, you're breaking up just a little bit. So what was she diagnosed with?
Kidney.
Kidney. Okay, so that's KD probably she's on. HD
okay.
is usually for heart.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. And you're coming in a little bit clearer now, and I just want to, again, or just make sure the audience can follow along with us.
Okay.
I think you're very smart to be a bit concerned. I mean, it is an insecticide. I feel that, you know, ticks, I mean, not ticks, but, well, ticks and fleas obviously transmit disease as well. Especially since your cat's being treated by your veterinarian for chronic kidney failure or kidney disease, I would have that conversation. But to start that conversation, there are some other products that I think I would probably use in a full dose of a topical like Frontline. I even like the Frontline spray and spray it on a little flea comb. And this is what I do with little kittens that are, you know, very young. And I just kind of comb them over with this product. And that product lasts on them for a month, too. And it's very safe and it dries very quickly. So you don't have to really worry about them licking it.
Okay.
But I really would emphasize, because I'm very careful, I can give guidance, but not to really diagnose without your veterinarian being on board with this. The other product that I think is very good is something called Revolution, which is the ivermectin. They have Revolution Plus. That also, I believe, is, I just feel a bit more comfortable with my older cats on that. But it's a personal preference as a practitioner, but I do think the best part of this conversation is that you're asking the question, and let's see if we can get some guidance from the medical professionals that know your 16-year-old cat the best.
Okay.
All right.
Revolution was what type of a medication?
Revolution's also topical, and it does heartworm, fleas, ticks, and it's that ivermectin, which is the same product that's in the heartworm prevention for dogs as well. But it's a very, very safe. The other thing, and this may be getting into more than you necessarily want to, but the Revolution is put out by Zoetis. That is an FDA-approved product. You have to remember that the Frontline, as good as it is, it doesn't go through the FDA. That's an EPA-approved product because it's more on insecticide. So that's where, you know, I kind of like, just to have that knowledge, I would consider the Revolution, and I would mention that to your veterinarian and see what they think.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
Hey, can I congratulate you on having your cat to live to 16 and doing pretty well?
Yes, thank you.
Lots of love, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But again, if you have any questions, hopefully this helps. Just give them a call and they'll help guide you as well.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Yeah, there is, you know, the fact that we have choices is what's so great about flea and tick prevention. And her cat's enjoying going outside, going for a walk. But we don't want to, one, overdo anything. And we just want to make sure it's something that is safe for your pet's particular situation in terms of flea and tick and heartworm prevention. So Let's change topics a little bit, and I'm going to talk to Mario. Mario, thanks for your patience.
Doctor, thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to you for years, and I'm calling about our five-year-old female, Shiloh Shepherd.
Whoa, nice.
She's a beautiful dog. She would run, and, you know, she was just full of energy. And in the last couple of months, there's something going on with her. Doctor, I'll give you the quick lowdown.
Sure.
She went in for an exam. We had x-rays. Her nails are fine. Her pad's fine. But she whines. She won't go upstairs anymore. She'll whine if she gets into a vehicle. There's something going on the backside.
Oh.
We got her on doxycycline right now, some fish oil. We're giving her two shots a week. I'm in my car. I don't know exactly, but we're going to the vet. She has a good gait when she walks.
Uh-huh.
You know, she will go into a prance, but she doesn't run like she used to run. And we're considering an MRI or physical therapy for dogs. Do you have any input? It seems to be the rear, you know, her rear legs. You
okay.
Know, behind, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have any input or, you know.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a tendon. I'm just thinking out loud, and I'm going to let you talk.
Well, thank you for it. It's, you know, rear leg lamuses, and I assume, again, you're not really saying she's lame. Is it a weakness, would you say, or she just doesn't seem to be able to want to walk or want to do stairs?
She doesn't want to do them.
Okay.
But if she does, we have a truck and we have a Civic. She'll get into the Civic, but she still lets a little whine.
Okay.
There's something going on
sure.
with the back legs.
Okay.
You know, I think we had her tested for the DM, and, you know, we've pretty much gone through a lot aside from an MRI and, you know.
Did you do x-rays?
Like everyone,
have x-rays been done?
X-rays have been done. They all look good. There
huh.
might be a, you know, and I've looked at them. I'm not a doctor, but. You know,
good hips.
You know, once again, you know, the spine looks good.
Her hips.
You know, maybe she, you know, the doctor said maybe the balls and the, you know, the joint and
yep.
the hips or whatever
yeah.
are funny, but,
okay.
you know.
Yeah. I think, again, yes, I would definitely consider an MRI. I think with the physical therapy, you're kind of doing a treatment, but we still don't have a diagnosis. And that's what gets frustrating. And that's why we do levels. Like, you did the right thing by agreeing to have the x-rays done. Nothing really obvious with the x-rays. When you hear any kind of shepherd or any dog that has rear leg lameness, the first thing you worry about is the hips, which is that ball that fits in the socket. But her x-rays
yep.
look clean, which is excellent. I assume she's been tested for Lyme disease.
Yep.
Okay. And so you've done that kind of basic workup. Now going to the next step, if this is being recommended by your veterinarian to do an MRI, I would. Now, it does require anesthesia, but again, you get a really good picture. They've kind of pinpointed where the issue is. I think that would be very valuable. And before physical therapy, because we're just like, okay, we're doing it because we feel like we're doing something, but we don't know why we're doing and what's the right physical therapy for what she has, because we don't have a diagnosis.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes total. Doctor, do you guys do MRIs?
We don't do MRIs. You know,
do you have a referral I could call you during the week?
Absolutely.
Or?
Absolutely. We have really, you know, because I think this, you want an orthopedic specialist that would be at
okay.
a hospital that does an MRI. Again, she's 5 years old. She's so young and she's obviously uncomfortable. I think the injections you're talking about are probably the Adequan injections that you're doing twice a week at the veterinary office. You know, will do no harm. But again, what are we treating is what I go back to. And if we know what she has, we can really do right by her. So, yes, just give us a call. I'll give you my phone number if you want.
Doctor, please do. I definitely will call you on Monday.
Okay, 860-286.
286
2986.
And you know, a dog is just like a little baby. They can't really tell you what's wrong.
It's so true. It's so true. And that's, but you are her best advocate and you do it out of love and you do it because, again, you want to make sure she's comfortable because that's what breaks our heart. And we don't want her to have a good day and then two bad days. Let's see if we can try to get to the bottom of it. And and we've got wonderful referral hospitals in the area. We even have Tufts that does a great job. So we'll get you to the right place.
Doctor, it's not just me. It's me and my lovely wife. But thank you so much for your time, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you, Mario.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. Oh, my heart just breaks again. You're right. You know, we cannot get them to, they can't tell us exactly where it hurts. And that's what we'll get Mario on the right track. You know, sometimes we have ACL issues, which is our knee issue, but this sounds like it's more in the back area. And there's so many different things. Even sometimes, you know, you can have what we call intervertebral disc disease. That can be an issue. Sometimes you've heard the term wobblers. I mean, I can just list off all the possibilities. But as a general practitioner, which I consider myself to be at this point in time, I think it's time for a specialist. And that getting second opinions, that's your right as veterinary medicine has expanded, and it's a practical right, and it's something that can be done. And I never, if someone asks me as a primary veterinarian, you know, I think, you know, I just like to get a second opinion before I have you do surgery. I don't take that as a negative. I say, good for you. This is good. I want you to be confident that what I'm recommending is the right thing. So don't ever feel like you're going to hurt your veterinarian that you've been with for years and love for years, that you're going to hurt their feelings. That's why we have specialists now. We didn't have dermatologists 40 years ago. We do have them now. So same thing with ophthalmologists. There's eye surgeries I used to do a decade ago, but now let me send you to someone that's better than I am. Let me send you to an ophthalmologist and feel really comfortable about that. So that's feel good about it, because again, what's your role? Your role is to love your pets to the best of your ability, support them, and then also do best by them. And since they can't talk, you have to advocate. The other thing I might recommend too, if that hasn't been done, when you do have a dog or a cat that seems to have a lameness or just not acting right, use your iPhone, I'm sorry, your phone, any type of phone you have, your Android, but use your phone to videotape it. I can't tell you how many emails we get for where we are starting, even before the examination, and people will send a couple of videotapes, short little snippets of what they're discussing, what they're worried about, how their dog is rising, how their dog isn't doing the steps like they used to. So you pop out that phone and say, hey, I'm just going to film this for 30 seconds. A lot. It helps us tremendously. And even though I am not a huge fan of telemedicine for pets, because I think, again, they can't talk, I really am hands-on to exam. Having a little bit of what they're like at home just only helps us. It only works out really well. So, all right, I think I've got to take one more break. And if there's any more phone calls, just give us a call at 860-522-9842, because we just got about 10 minutes left. We'll be right back. I never kissed a mouth that tastes like yours, strawberries and something more. Ooh, yeah, I want it all. Lipstick. Well, you're back. You're back listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. We've been talking a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And again, any question goes right here. I want to thank Justin Levine for helping us come back with some bumper music. And that's upbeat with the type of day that we have outside. And I do hope that all of you are spending a little bit time outside, especially with your dogs or even your cats if you take them out. And we've been talking earlier on the show about how to prevent the ugly side of spring and summer. And that is heartworm disease, flea and ticks that can be very, very bothersome and obviously transmit disease. And with the heartworm-ish piece of this again, so many of you during COVID, and even before, but definitely during COVID, have been adopting dogs from all over the country. And sometimes the paperwork says this dog was tested for heartworms and was negative. My experience has been that even though these adoption shelters are doing the best that they can, our position at the Bloomfield Animal Hospital is that we still want to test that dog when you bring them to us. And it's always your choice, but just let us do a test. Let's just confirm that dog doesn't have heartworm. And then the Heartworm Society also recommends that you test those dogs, same adopted dogs, in 6 months, because it takes about 6 months for these worms to mature enough to show in the test. So please don't take offense, and shelters don't take offense when we recommend having them tested. the two dogs that I was talking about that we're treating for heartworm right now. I mean, we treat many throughout the year, but we're doing two just happened to coincidentally be this week. Both of them were adopted dogs, and they're owned by young couples. They're trying to do the best that they can, but here they're adopting a dog for a certain fee, and now this is additional cost. They're already in love, and we already talked about what the dog goes through. So if your veterinarian recommends, hey, yes, we see the paperwork, but so many of these organizations are doing great work, but sometimes mix-ups happen more often than I like. If your veterinarian is recommending, let's go ahead and test, please do that. Please take that to heart. It's worth the money. And speaking of money, that prevention, cats can be put on a preventative. Dogs are recommended to be put on the preventative. When you think about it, it's the cost of going to a Starbucks for a weekly coffee, and you can prevent these diseases. So if we can go in that direction, that would be ideal. Okay, there isn't any phone calls, so I'm going to take a little bit of time to clarify some of the issues about stool samples and what you're looking for. And this is a different type of parasite, and people get this mixed up all the time. When I call about the intestinal parasites, which are in their, you know, we can see in their stool, people still think I'm talking about heartworm. The heartworm is a blood test. When you go for your yearly exam, they usually, yes, they'll do a blood test, but they also want you to bring a stool sample. Those are the presents we really love. So the stool samples, that's what we're looking for, intestinal parasites. And yes, there are the old way of testing for intestinal parasites. We would get some false negatives, meaning there's something there, but it didn't show up. We have advanced in leaps and bounds in terms of being able to pick up worms from the stool, what worms they have. We're seeing a lot of something called Giardia. We're seeing whipworms. We're seeing hookworms. But now we're not just looking for the eggs. Before, we used to just look for the eggs in the stool, but we are now looking for the antigen. Just like your COVID tests at home, you're looking for antigen. That's what we're doing now with the stool sample. We can pick up whether they're passing eggs or not, whether our patients actually have intestinal parasites. And then we can treat, and we can treat for the right thing. So just going out to Petco or any of these locations that might have a, and I'm putting quotes up in air quotes, dewormer, all dewormers are not alike. I would discuss this with your veterinarian. Intestinal parasites are something that can be real problematic. Sometimes a major symptom for me is for our patients is the dogs are sometimes, and cats, they have normal form stools for a few days, and then a couple of days it's loose. It kind of goes back and forth. So please always, your veterinarians, we love our samples. So your veterinarian's going to ask you to bring a sample in, but we do specific testing, and that has gotten so advanced over the last, over the last decade. So let the veterinarian, let the doctor do their job, and we can figure out what's going on in intestinal parasites as well. An addendum, too, is that those heartworm and flea and tick preventions, mainly the heartworm preventions, also have something in there that also helps for intestinal parasites. So they're safe. They're good to use overall. But again, talk to your veterinarian. The last thing before I go, and I need more water, I feel like I'm talking too much today, and Joe's going to appreciate that. Let's talk about weight of their dogs. We've mentioned it several times. In veterinary medicine, we are trained as doctors. Our staff is trained as well. It's not just the weight, putting them on the scale. Even though we put them on the scale all the time, every visit, we have something called a body conditioning score. We use a score out of 9. So 1 to 9 out of 9. So a very obese patient would be a 9 out of 9. Somebody that's really in perfect athletic form would be a 4.5 out of 9. We know what we're looking for when we guide you as far as what we think your kind of perfect weight would be for your pet. We know what we're talking about. It's not just off the top of our head. And we know which dogs have fur. We're actually feeling them. And there is a reason why we do this. One, to help guide you. You know, did your dog go from a 4.5 score 2 years ago? So now they're 7 out of 9. They're not a 4.5 anymore because people don't weigh them at home. People don't really always see the difference. And with that, we can help protect their hips. We can help prevent diabetes. You know, when we talk about, oh, my dog, my lab just gained 5 pounds. 5 pounds is like 15 pounds on you and I, right? And 15 pounds, I would not want to put 15 pounds on in any given year. So many of our health issues in humans, as well as our dogs and cats, are related to weight. I have talked about this over many, many times. Heard something last week that I just did not agree with and thought that we needed to discuss it today. And again, talk about weight with your veterinarian, but we are doctors. Veterinarians are very well trained. And please don't take offense if we say, hey, maybe cut, you know, reduce the snacks by 50%, or let's not make it a heaping cup of food. You know, let's make it just a level cup of food. Please don't take offense. We're only trying to do what's best for your pets. And on that, I'm going to thank both Tom and Anthony for helping me today. Enjoy the rest of this day, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.